Because of listeners like you, Preborn has helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a great commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
Now, here's guest host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, there you go. I thought I would do that myself, but thank you very much. That's right. That's who it is. So that there's no gender confusion here. Happy, though, to sit in for Jenna. And great to be with you all, of course. And thank you, as always, for all of your prayers and your support of American Family Radio. We could not do this without you. And I'll tell you, I always say I am particularly gratified, grateful to God to be a part of the American Family Association network and the American Family Radio family of hosts. I do a podcast that is posted on Wednesday morning, so my podcast will be recorded tonight, but it will be posted first thing tomorrow morning, so you'll be able to hear me on AFR.net. But I'm really grateful to God to be a part of this because I know the integrity of this organization. I know the integrity of this network. That was writ large for me, and I won't get into the details of this because I'm not even sure that would be appropriate, and I haven't cleared this with the network. But I noticed a while ago, I was reading an article about a guy who happens to be a sort of an apologetic scholar, who recommended to Christians, he said, you know, Christians ought to go to gay weddings, and Christians, his words, not mine, Christians ought to go to gay weddings, Christians ought to go to transgender or transition ceremonies, you know, where a person is transitioning from one gender to another. And they not only ought to go, they ought to take a gift with them when they go, because it demonstrates that we really love these people. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Have you lost your mind? I wouldn't dare set foot in some same-sex ceremony. Why would I do that? Because when you do that, and then not only go, but he said, but to take a gift with you to give. Now, folks, I'm teaching in my church the book of Hebrews, and I just started on chapter 4, and I ended up talking about the spirit of compromise that prevents us from entering into the sense of rest, the rest of our conscience, the rest of our spirits, the rest of our souls, when we compromise and we find ourselves sort of surrendering to the currency, the current of the culture in order to get along or in order to get a better result. And I say, and it will never work, because you simply cannot get a good result by sowing bad seed. If I go to some sort of same-sex ceremony and I give people a gift, I am sowing seed into something that's going to bring a harvest. But that harvest is not good, because the seed I'm sowing is bad. Sowing it, the ground I'm sowing that seed into is bad ground. It is evil ground. It is wicked ground. Why would I do that? Well, that person is still, the person who recommended this can still be seen on various Christian outlets. But you won't hear that person here. So, you know, because, you know, we're holding a biblical line. and where the Bible speaks clearly. Now, there may be areas at times when you know, people can have different views on what a particular scripture means. We don't get into all the doctrinal divisions that exist in the body of Christ. But I think that is fairly clear. The Bible says, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, says the Lord. So how can you, but at any rate, so I'm grateful to God to be a part of the American Family Association. They can call us haters, they can call us bigots, they can call us whatever they want. What we love them, we pray for them, but we're simply not going to be a part of their wickedness. We're not going to be a part of their evil. The Bible says, he that condemns the righteous and justifies the wicked is an abomination to God, because that's what that is. You're saying basically that those of us who won't participate in that, well, we're not really that. We're not really loving Christians. But those who do, now that's, they're really good people. Well, that's justifying wickedness and condemning righteousness. So, at any rate, thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support, because I know that it's not always easy to stand for righteousness in a world in which the current is going in the opposite direction. But you know, you've heard that saying, folks, any dead fish can go with the current. It takes a live salmon to swim upstream. And praise God, we are swimming upstream. We are swimming with God's current, not the world's current. And we know which one is going to last. The world's current is headed off the cliff into the abyss. God's current is headed into the kingdom of God and eternal joy and peace and love and righteousness for all of eternity. So praise God. All right, speaking of this issue of compromise, I have not talked about this before, but I want to get into it a little bit today, and that is these Epstein files. I've kind of avoided the topic because, I care about the women who were victimized by Joel Osteen, obviously, and I care that justice is done for him. And I know there are conspiracies around his so-called suicide. I mean, I don't know whether the man committed suicide or not. The evidence does seem to point in that direction. And there are those who say, well, you know, he was probably really murdered in order to avoid having other information come out. And you know, I don't know. I just can't really get excited about that and about delving into that subject, although you all may want to raise some questions when I take calls or make some comments. But I do want to bring it up for this reason. The Democrats, as I like to affectionately refer to them, closed down the government for 43 days, thinking that they were going to really hurt President Trump in doing so, because that is their raison d'etre. That's what they lived for now. They lived to hurt him. They lived to destroy him. They lived to, look, folks, I am not exaggerating when I say this. They want President Trump dead. We all know it. We all know it. Now, most of them are smart enough not to say it, but it's obvious they want him dead. They want the man off the planet because they hate him just that much. They find him to be such an obstruction to their agenda for the country that they would just like to see him gone. Now, who are we kidding? Okay, they're doing reviews now of the FBI coverage of President Trump in Butler, the acknowledgement that all kinds of things were missed. Why? Because I think that there is this poisonous attitude among these leftists that he's a fascist, he's a dictator, he's a Hitler, doesn't he deserve it? So in spite, though, of all of their venom, all of their hatred, all of their desire to destroy the man, everything they've tried has failed. Everything. So now, after the shutdown failed to bring about the results they were seeking, which was, again, hurting President Trump, somehow putting him in a bad light, in a bad situation, having him blamed for the shutdown, having people rise up in arms against him because—and I'm rise up against him. I didn't mean, you know, violently against him, but they wouldn't mind that, of course, because we've seen that kind of thing go on, and they're quite happy. You see the violence that they are really encouraging, or certainly not discouraging, against ICE agents. You know, they're the Gestapo, they're the secret police, they're, you know, I mean, all this just craziness. So now they turn to what? Not policies that they think will help the American people. Not something that the American people need to have addressed, that they feel, you know, that this is really going to serve the American people. No, no, no. They turn to the Epstein files now. Yeah, we got to get the Epstein files out. Well, President Trump has finally said, you know what? Just go ahead and get them out. Go ahead and get them out. Now, you can't put out grand jury testimony. There's a good reason for that, by the way, because grand jury testimony is uncontested testimony, and you have no way of cross-examining and knowing whether this is something that is true or real, or maybe somebody, it's a rumor somebody heard, or it's maybe somebody just doesn't like a particular person and they want to put them in a bad light, or they hold them in a bad light. And so hearing grand jury testimony can really damage very innocent people at times. And so we need to maintain secrecy of grand jury testimony, because, again, it's not, you can't cross-examine it. You know, the people who testify can't have an attorney in it present. So there's no one to say, well, we object to that question. It is all the prosecutor, the witnesses the prosecutor brings in, and the grand jury there listening. So it's a completely one-sided type of hearing. So there are certain things that should never come out, because it wouldn't be fair to innocent people who have no ability to defend themselves against the accusations that might be made. But President Trump said, for the most part, everything that is releasable should be released. I'm convinced of this, folks. This is just another, they're hoping somehow, some way, they will find something, twist something that they can use against him. But if there were anything there, don't you think that by now they would have used it? If there were anything there, I mean, they have Epstein himself saying that Trump never received any of the services that Epstein provided, apparently, to his buddies. And this guy was I hope I can say this, but this guy was a scumbag, folks. I mean, whew, wow. I mean, this guy was truly a scumbag. I mean, just horrible, horrible, horrible human being. I mean, this guy's a sexual predator. And he essentially ruined the lives. I mean, I was watching an interview with a young lady who he had messed with, 15 years ago. And she's still crying, talking about it, about what happened to her. I mean, he got her on this island. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's wined and dined all these women, and he's, you know, then he has his minions go and pick the people he wants, and they tell them it's time for a massage, and he brings them in to do God knows what. And look, you're trapped on an island. You've got no way off. It's guarded by his people. And, you know, she said she basically didn't know. She couldn't even sleep. What in the world have I gotten myself into? She's in fear. Here, you know, over a decade, 15 years later, talking about it still brings her to tears. This guy ruined many lives. Don't you know that if President Trump had any part in any of that by now, they would have brought that out? Look, Epstein knew lots and lots of people, by the way. You know, apparently the list of celebrities and government officials that this man knew is breathtaking. I mean, he met with presidents and prime ministers and people from all walks of life all over the world, because he bought his way in with his money. So this is just another attempt to smear President Trump. Ghislaine Maxwell said, nope, we had no dealings with President Trump. Epstein's lawyer said, no, there's no, President Trump's not involved in any of this. There's no victim that's ever alleged any activity or involvement with President Trump. And by the way, let's not forget, President Trump kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago based on what he heard that Epstein was doing. He kicked him off of his property. So this is just, frankly, much ado about nothing, But you know, I will sound this note. Beware of what you wish for. Because there are so many moral reprobates in the Democrat Party that they better watch it, because they really might be lighting the fuse of the bomb that sets off in their own camp. I'm in for Jenna Ellis today. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, we're back. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson and Jenna Ellis. And look, folks, the Democrat Party has really become a morally reprobate party. And it just really has. If you think about the policies that they have come to, by and large, support. Now, as you know, you all know, now I'm going to wade into maybe some controversial territory here, but what's new, right? I'm always doing that. The Democrats have been going through a lot of gyrations and a lot of, you know, manipulations, trying to figure studies and discussions. How do we reach men? How do we reach men? We're losing the men. And they've you know, I'm sure you all heard. So somehow they got somebody to donate $20 million to study. How do you reach men? Why are we losing the men? This governor of Minnesota, you know, he was supposed to be, you know, the guy who was going to man speak. And the guy's just a straight clown. I mean, just really a clown. He does not appeal to men or manhood at all. He comes walking out, waving his hands, and you know, these people have completely lost their way. And so recently, there was a discussion about why the Democrats have lost men, and Dave Portnoy. I guess Portnoy's kind of made his name as a guy basically presiding over a bar and drinking and all that. So. I'm not a follower or a fan, but I know him because, you know, you see him doing commentary all the time. And he does some good things, don't get me wrong. But he offered this analysis. He said the Democrat Party doesn't like normal guys. He said normal guys want to drink and they want to party. Now he also added, and the Democrat made white guys the villain. I think he's right about that. I think the Democrat Party has, in effect, created a stereotype of the white male as the repository of all that is evil and all that is wrong, and that's about as evil as it gets. I said it's the same thing Hitler did to the Jews. It's the same mindset. These are the people who are creating all of our problems. We just get, somehow you get rid of them and everything will be great, which is, again, that's an abomination to God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's available to all. There is no ethnic, there is no racial, there is no national origin that has anything to do with that. It does not matter the complexion of one's skin. It does not matter one's gender. It has nothing to do with it. Whosoever will, let him come. The problem with all human beings is sin. It's not that, oh, there's some particular thing that's wrong with white people. And folks, don't get me wrong. I've said jokingly, I never thought when I was younger that I would ever have to stand up and defend white people. But, you know, but somebody's got to do it. So he's right about that. There is no question about that. That there's this stereotype, this caricature, this wicked, evil thing. White people in general, of course, are supposed to be villains. And then, of course, if you're a white male, you are the worst of the worst. But this part about the drinking and the partying and all of that, you know, Here's, can I tell you what the problem is, why they're losing men? Christian men, non-Christian men. It's this, basically. They do not understand, because they have lost touch with the wisdom of God, that men and women are different and that we are wired differently, and that there are certain things that you will get more women to go along with than men. You won't get Christian women to go along with it, but you'll get more men in general, more women in general to go along with than you will men, because, and here's what I'm getting at. Men gravitate toward logic and common sense. Now, I'm not saying women don't, and I'm not saying women are not capable of that, but I'm saying women are more prone to be influenced by feelings and by the touchy-feely than men are, right? I mean, so for example, when it comes to things like all this gender craziness and the homosexuality and the abortion, single women particularly tend to side with the Democrats. I mean, so for example, here in Virginia, we lost women big time in the last election. Big time. Women voted overwhelmingly Democrat. Now, men voted Republican. Now, but not in large enough numbers to overcome the deficit that was created by so many women voting Democrat. And I'm convinced that's not based on logic or facts. It's based on feelings. I mean, why would you say that a man who says he's a woman should be treated as a woman? Well, you don't want to hurt his feelings. If that's the way he feels, you got to respect the way he feels. Now, again, Christian women wouldn't think this way. And most men, Christian or not, would think, no, I don't have to respect his feelings because his feelings are stupid. And I don't have to respect his feelings. I mean, he's going to be stupid. I don't have to be stupid with him. And he can think he's a woman all he wants, but if he walks into the restroom behind my wife or behind my daughter or behind my granddaughter, we're going to have a little talk. I'm going right in there and ask, well, what are you doing? Now, here's some guy with a beard looking at you, talking about, well, I'm a woman. And a man says, no, you're not. Now, a lot of women, we know by the way they, many, again, single women and non-Christian women particularly vote, would say, well, but you have to respect his feelings. You don't. See, the Democrat Party has become a party of the idolatry of feelings. And feelings are all that matters. Because they know you can more easily use feelings to manipulate people than you can facts and truth. Because facts and truth are what they are. But feelings can be massaged and manipulated and twisted, and you know, you can conjure them up based on nothing, right? I mean, for example, you know, all the stuff about racial justice. We've got to have racial justice in America, you know, and they bring up slavery as if slavery ended yesterday. It's been 160 years. Nobody living today was ever a slave. Nobody living today ever owned a slave. We got people involved in human trafficking that are doing that, and they don't talk much about that. But none of us was involved in any way. But they want to get people all worked up in their feelings as if they experienced slavery themselves, and make them feel about people as if they own slaves themselves. I mean, it's just... And I think men are more likely to say, you know, and David Portnoy did say this. They said, hey, look, you know, I didn't colonize anybody. You know, I didn't enslave anybody. I didn't. And I think the Democrat Party says, oh, no, but you are guilty. And I think men look and say, no, I'm not. You know. And a lot of, again, non-Christian women and single women apparently more so say, well, but you know what? If that's the way you feel, I have to respect your feelings. And as long as the Democrat Party decides that it is going to be a party of the idolatry of feelings rather than focus on facts and truth and logic, they're going to continue to lose men. And I just hope that conservatives will make the most of that. Now, of course, we got to win women, too, because we've had a disastrous election in Virginia here, folks. Oh, boy, I tell you, I'm still reeling a little bit from this one. I am not happy about it. It is not a good look. I mean, we didn't just lose. We got trounced. And you just kind of wonder what in the world. I think it was a confluence of a number of very, very unhappy factors. Candidacies, money, the shutdown. Remember, Virginia has the largest number of federal bureaucrats living in this state than any other state in the nation. Don't think that doesn't have an effect, folks. It does. You would talk about the deep state. The deep state is in Virginia. Yeah, as much as it's in Washington, D.C., it's in Virginia. And we are paying a price for it. I was really hoping President Trump really would clean the swamp, drain the swamp by sending these people, scattering them around the country and sending all these big bureaucratic agencies send them to other places and just disperse them among the states so Virginia doesn't have to bear the burden. If he got rid of 500,000 of those folks, it could literally change the future of Virginia, folks. But at any rate, so that's their problem. They don't need a $20 million study for that. They could just come ask me, and I tell them, you know, you don't appeal to men because men don't want to hear nonsense and be told you're stupid if you don't buy into it. Now, again, Christian women don't want to hear that either. And apparently married women, for the most part, I think are much more practical, Christian or not, based on the voting patterns, at least. But a lot of single women, they seem to be predisposed. I mean, you know, I see this in my own marriage. My wife will come up with something that she wants to do, and she'll say, well, you know, this is going to be beautiful. This is going to be lovely. And the first thing that comes to my mind is this going to make sense? Is this going to be convenient? Is this going to work? And my wife is thinking, this is going to look so great. And don't get me wrong. Guess what wins out in the Jackson household? What my wife says looks great. But it's not what tends to move me most. You know, what tends to move me is, I remember we you know, we have a backyard, a pathway from our backyard to our garage deck. And my wife wanted to put some flowers and some things along that path. But the problem is, if you do that, when you get ready to go into the yard, you've got to step over these flowers. Now, my wife's got this beautiful thing planned, and she's thinking, and my first thought is, yeah, but when I want to walk into the backyard, I gotta somehow jump over your flowers. You know? So, and my wife is thinking, that's a small price to pay for the beauty that you know. I'm thinking, my head won't even wrap around the beauty. My head is on, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Why would I put an obstruction in front of me when I want to go into the backyard? But you know, it's God made us differently because we're supposed to complement each other. And the Democrats, of course, once you go down the road of saying that there's no difference between men and women, well, you're lost from the very beginning. I mean, and that which is what they decided they believe, you know, that it's nothing but a social construct. No, it's hardwired. It's hardwired. We are different. Now, we're both human beings and we're both equal in the sight of God, and he loves both the same, but he has wired us differently for different roles and purposes and things that God wants us to do, particularly within the role of the family, particularly within the role of the family, within the realm of the family. And you know, I say men and women are different. Viva la différence. Praise God for the difference, because God knew exactly what he was doing. And these people who want to conjure up these ideas about gender, they don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue. I am so glad that they're not the creator, because you're talking about a mess. We would have a mess on our hands. Sin came in, and it's already a mess as a result of sin. But based on God's creation, God's plan, God's order, It just doesn't get any better than that. I've often said, when God said, you know, it is not good for Adam to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmate. He said, when Adam woke up from that deep sleep God was in and saw Eve, I said, he probably said, boy, I thought this garden was fun before. It's about to be a whole lot more fun than it's ever been. So God knows exactly what he's doing in making the genders different and putting men together with women. Jesus said at the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. But again, when you reject godly wisdom, when you reject God's plan and purpose and his order for mankind, well, this is what you get. You get all kinds of confusion. We need to do a $20 million study to try to figure out how to talk to men. I mean, imagine that. And I think most men are thinking, well, see, there you go. That's your problem. Just approach me with some common sense and some facts and logic and respect, and that's how you relate to men. You don't need to do a $20 million study to figure it out. And it's not about, particularly for us Christian men, it's not about drinking and partying and all of that. That's not the attack. The attack is on manhood in general from the left, that masculinity in general is somehow a bad thing. Men are wired to be protectors. They are wired to be defenders. We are wired to be guards. We are wired to be warriors. And the Democrats want to say, no. You've got to get in touch with your feminine side. Say, I am in touch with my feminine side. She's called my wife. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson and for Jenna Ellis. I'm going to take your calls when we come back. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth? Truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the growing life inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she will choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing the truth. Friend, this is not the time to be silent. It is the time for courage, for truth, and for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and choose life. Please donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250 baby, or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. You can bring up any topic I've raised or any topic that you want to raise. I'd say one more comment about this whole male-female thing. Michelle Obama is running around the country as she has before. I just wish she'd leave, because I just think she'd be happier somewhere else. But, you know, she said, you want me to run for president? She said, y'all lying. Y'all not ready. Y'all not ready to vote for a woman president. Look, you know what? If the right woman ran under the right circumstances, she had the right principles, the right values, the right and the courage to do the job, she'd get my vote. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, she is the eternally oppressed, wealthy, powerful woman. I mean, you know, whining with a loaf of bread under her arm about having nothing to eat. It's just really sickening. You just want to say, you know, I'm going to be preaching a message for Thanksgiving coming up, cultivating a culture of Thanksgiving. You know, I just want for once love to hear these people say, you know, I'm so grateful to be American. I'm so grateful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I'm so grateful that my husband and I have had the opportunity to do the things that we do have done and are doing. It's weird. But no, it's never, ever do you hear anything like that. It's, you know, America's not this and America's not that and America's sexist and America's racist and we can and they won't let us and they don't. I mean, get off it. I mean, get a life. I mean, my goodness, get over yourself. And men aren't going to vote for anybody that they're not convinced is capable of doing the job. We don't care whether it's a man or a woman. And Kamala Harris is a complete incompetent. I wouldn't vote for her for dog catcher. So, but of course, we don't want to discuss the merits. We only want to discuss race and gender. And let's get on your calls. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Michael in Georgia. Michael, welcome.
Good morning, Bishop. I just heard a lot of the word respect.
Yes.
I grew up where respect was considered an earned commodity. And if you wanted respect, you had to do the work to earn it.
There you go.
And today, people want the respect, but they don't do anything to earn it. And what that comes to me, I feel like I've done a lot of work to earn it. I know God knows I earned it, but that doesn't necessarily mean I get it in this world.
Amen. Michael, good to hear from you. Thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. You know, this again goes to this issue of the way men and women are wired. Men are wired to want and to demand respect. Women are really wired to want to be loved and to have affection shown and tenderness and caring. Men, generally speaking, aren't interested in tenderness or being treated tenderly. Men want to be treated respectfully. And you are absolutely right about that. I mean, that's what happens with when that attitude runs amok in the streets of our cities, and these guys are killing each other over some real or imagined act of disrespect toward them. He dissed me. But you know, and that's of course a perversion of the respect that we as men want because we've earned it. You respect me because I'm a human being and a man. But you're right. When it comes to my achievements, my accomplishments, I want to earn what I'm recognized for, not have it given to me. But you know, how many fathers are there now? It's still plenty, thank God, but not enough out there instilling that in their children. Son, you want respect, you got to show it, and you got to earn it. Thanks for the call, Michael. Let's go to David in Iowa. David, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Thanks for taking my call. It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear yours.
Okay, there's a wild it's kind of a wild thought, but I thought of this after Pam Bondi said she had the files on her desk, she was going to release them, and then everything shut down. I know that Bill Barr said once that if the Trump is his name is in the file, but he'd be used as the prosecution against those who would be prosecuted against. And I'm wondering if it's for safety for him. There's too many very powerful people that he knows something went on. It's just a wild thought. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, look, thank you for the call, too, David. Look, Trump has called for the release of these things. I don't know whether he can sign an executive order to do that. It's going to take an act of the legislature. There's a little bit of a debate about that. Some say he can do it on his own. He has said that he wants them released so that he can get this off the table and move on to other important things. But I'll tell you something. You know, there was a time when I would say, you know, I don't believe in conspiracies. But, you know, I've come to a point in my life now where I've seen so much evil done by people, so much diabolical plotting and planning that I wouldn't put anything past anybody. And in the political world, oh, my goodness, in the political world, the kinds of stuff that is conjured up against people. Oh. So who knows? Who knows? But I think the thing's got to be laid to rest. If President Trump really does want it, and he said that he does, and he tends to speak his mind, really doesn't want the files released, let's get them released. Let's get it over with. Because, again, I believe that if there were anything there that they could use to hang around his neck, they would have used it already. Let's go to Holly in Virginia. Holly, welcome.
Good morning, Bishop Jackson. Wanted to say one thing. I appreciate you very much, but I am everything that Democrats hate. I am a God-fearing, husband-loving, pro-life business owner in Virginia.
Amen. And well, good for you.
Yes, absolutely. God is great. But one of the things when you were talking about the Virginia election.
Yeah.
The Republicans did, because when you have 500,000 registered Republicans not vote in an election, that's how we lose. I went through and did a kind of a quick senatorial race, and out of 133 voting localities, Winsome actually won 86 of those localities. But the problem is, like you said, it's Northern Virginia.
Yep.
You know, it's, you don't have to win Northern Virginia, but you do have to get a higher percentage than 10 to 25% in those localities.
Right.
So that's where we're
going. Okay, Holly, you're breaking up, but listen, we got the gist of your comments. Look, you're absolutely right. Northern Virginia is really destroying the culture and politics and, frankly, the heritage of Virginia. And I don't know where this is going to go, but I'll tell you, folks, God help us, because this could be an ugly 4 years, a really ugly 4 years. I'll tell you all something I haven't told anybody else yet, but I'll share it with you all, because it's not a secret. But I am planning to hold some summits across the Commonwealth of Virginia to bring conservatives together, because right now there's no leadership. We have no leadership. There's no leadership coming out of the Republican Party. There really isn't. Somebody's got to do it. And frankly, I don't think most conservatives are interested in following any Republican leader in Virginia, because I think they say, what's that done for us? So we got a big problem here, but I'm convinced that God, if we will stand up, God will not allow the state of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, James Madison, George Mason, and on will not allow this state to become the state of Karl Marx. Thank you for the call, Holly. Let's go to Chris in Texas. Chris, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My comment is regarding Charlie Kirk, and since his death, we've been very fortunate to have people want to come to the Bible, learn more about Charlie, and realizing what a Christian he was. However, I have a friend who has drifted and gone the other way to the evil side of what happened with Charlie. She has found this Candace Owens, and she has been telling me that it was the Mossad that killed him, and that he said some things so that the Mossad killed him and that the Jews are now bad. And so she's been following him. And I ask her, when did you start listening to Candace? Because I've been listening to Charlie for 2 years. And she said, since Charlie's death, but it's the first time she started to listen to Candace. Mm. She listens to him daily. And now with the ordeal with MTG, she said she was the only one that wasn't a member of AIPAC. She didn't have, or the Jewish Israel AIP. So it's, she isn't it that? And we had to convince her. No, there was other things she did. But I just want people to be forewarned to don't listen to these people. Israel is great. We need to still follow them. And she'll say things like, but it's not the original people. It's not the original one. And then it's not the right land. So she is really taking them off the wrong track. I am staying in the relationship and the friendship, which I do it just to convince her God can use kings in the old Bible for his purpose. He knows what's going to happen in the end, and he can use these. He can use Trump or this. If we don't like BB, maybe he's using him for his purpose in the end. To bring his.
Amen. Chris,
his end
Chris,
to the
thank,
world.
Thank you. We're coming to the end of the program, and thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Look, folks. I know Candace, not that I'm a close friend or anything, but I've worked with Candace. I used to speak at Candace's Blexit events. And people would ask me, how come you don't have her on your program? I said, because my concern with Candace is that Candace, I don't believe, is a Christian. And her views on homosexuality and whatnot are not compatible with mine, because I'd go to these meetings and sometimes either before or after she'd have some homosexual up there talking about, we got to get the homosexuals out of the Democrat Party too. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not something I'm interested in. We got to get the homosexuals out of homosexuality. That's what we got to do. This, to me, is what can happen when a person is very successful at a very young age. And it doesn't happen to everybody, obviously. Thank God it didn't happen to Charlie Kirk, but it can happen to people. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of power. They have a lot of influence, but they don't have any wisdom. And so Candace is now going off the deep end. And I don't pay any attention to what she says now. I've been teaching my congregation this every chance I get an opportunity. The Jews are the chosen people because God chose the Jews to be the people through whom he would reveal himself to the world. In fact, I just read it in my devotions this morning in First Kings chapter 8, where God said to the children of Israel that when a foreigner comes, in fact, I'm looking at it right now, happens to be in my Bible right in front of me because I was reading it earlier this morning. First Kings chapter 8, verse 41 says, moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your namesake. Now he's talking about somebody's coming to Israel to seek God. Okay. We're not talking about illegal aliens. Somebody's coming to Israel to seek God. God says, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple. Then it says that the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. That's Solomon actually talking there. God revealed himself to the children of Israel, and through the children of Israel, he revealed himself to the world. Now, there's a scripture that makes clear. This is how God, we now is through the Bible, believing Christians, telling the world about Jesus. But then it was through the children of Israel and people hearing around the world about the work that God was doing with Israel that was drawing them to him, making people who did not know him or did not know about him known to him. And this idea that, you know, it's a different people. And I mean, it's just silliness. The Bible says that Israel would be regathered in 1948. That began to happen. And here we are, Aliyah still being made by Jews all over the world going back to Israel. So, you know, they just need to get off it. But you have to pray for that poor young lady because she's lost her mind, frankly. And I don't think she ever was saved. My personal opinion, I don't think she ever was saved. She is a Catholic, so I'll leave it at that. Let's go to John.
Bishop,
in Indiana, John, welcome.
Bishop, thank you for your service, and thank you for taking a stand. I believe in their districting fight, we're running with the same thing with the feelings. A lot of our states that could get more substantial support do a shared sacrifice, what Tom DeLay did in Texas 20 years ago, where instead of having to win or getting to win their districts by 60-40, they could shave off points and win by 55-35 and get more representatives and save the country. But they'd rather have their own cushion, and some of the rhinos won't even support when somebody like you or other conservatives win. They won't go to bat and show up at the election like the people in Virginia. Some of them sit on their hands.
Yeah, John, you're absolutely right. I said, look, and I'm not sour grapes because it's over, but when I ran, I had Republican establishment people trying to get me off the ballot because of my position on homosexuality. And this guy, Jay Jones, he's calling for the deaths of his political opponent and his children, and the Democrats stood behind him. Not that we should stand behind someone with that kind of viewpoint, but we should learn to stop eating our own. Well, folks, it's been great to be with you today. God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.